We read from the Holy Scriptures this morning from two passages, two beautiful psalms, Psalm 91, first of all, and then Psalm 23. Our text this morning is found in the fourth verse of Psalm 23. Psalm 91 is also a psalm that speaks very beautifully of the security that we have in our covenant God. We hear the word of God first in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We turn to the beloved 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. So I said our text this morning is found here in Psalm 23, the fourth verse, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, sheep need protection. Our text for this morning brings back memories from my youth, growing up with sheep on my father's farm in south central Iowa. Sometimes the sheep would endanger themselves, getting stuck in the mud by a pond, or getting their head stuck in the wire netting of the fence, trying to reach the grass, the greener grass on the other side. Predators, stray dogs running together, or coyotes were a threat to the safety of the sheep. Just a few years ago, one of my sons emailed pictures of a good-sized black bear that had been treed by the sheep dogs not far from the flock on the farm where our daughter-in-law grew up in Western Canada. Sheep need protection. It's especially true spiritually of us as the sheep of God's pasture, those who by grace belong to the Good Shepherd. Some 2,000 years ago, David, the young son of Jesse, cared for his father's flock on the hills surrounding Bethlehem. David encountered some rather frightening, hair-raising experiences in defending his father's flock. When he stood before King Saul prior to his encounter with the Philistine giant Goliath, David described his experiences. We read of that in 1 Samuel 17 from verse 34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." History records numerous accounts of shepherds encountering wild animals, thieves, sometimes having to surrender their lives in defense of the flock. One difference between those accounts and the promises given by the great shepherd is that our Lord can never be overwhelmed by any enemy. And that's why David, in this beloved soul-strengthening verse, was able to find comfort, even though he knew well that there were many dangers ahead. From that point of view, we see a change in this familiar psalm here at verse 4. Notice that up to this point, it seems the sheep had been speaking to others of the excellent care that it received from its shepherd. The psalmist confesses that Jehovah is his shepherd, that he does not want. He suffers no lack. The shepherd makes him lie down in green pastures and leads him beside the still waters. All his wants, his needs are completely fulfilled. His shepherd leads and guides him in the way of everlasting righteousness, and in that way, his soul is restored from all unrest and misery. Up to this point, all seems bliss, peace, joy, contentment. But now, in verse 4, the psalmist begins, "Yea, though," or literally, "even though." David has pointed out that the Lord's protection and guidance are easily assumed when we are by the still waters, literally the waters of rest. But now he is emphasizing the fact that we may rejoice in Jehovah's leadership and protection even though our journey takes us through the darkest and the most threatening experiences of life. And note, too, that we see this transition here in the psalm also from the fact that now the sheep speaks intimately to his shepherd. The personal pronouns I and thou enter the conversation. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, our shepherd guides and protects us. We find comfort in Jehovah, the God of our salvation. And it's in this light that we consider our text this morning under the theme, Protected by Our Shepherd. We notice, first of all, our need of protection, and secondly, our comfort in Jehovah. Both in the land of Palestine, as well as on the larger sheep ranches in the western part of our country and in western Canada, the efficient sheepmen endeavor to take their flocks unto the distant, rich mountain pastures during the summer months. That often entails quite a lengthy journey. It's often a rather difficult and dangerous journey. The hill country of Judah was broken up by narrow and precipitous valleys and ravines through which one must go in order to get to the good pasture. Those valleys abound with caves and dens which provide perfect hiding places for both predators as well as robbers. There are dangers of rampaging rivers, flash floods, avalanche, terrible storms. And this all makes plain what the psalmist means when he speaks of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We must understand at the outset that the psalmist is not speaking only about the day of our death. Our text is often limited to that. But it is not so that in the previous verses we see that the wants and needs of this present life are taken care of, and that now our text concerns our death, that even then our shepherd will take care of us. Now that's true, of course, but our text means much, much more than that. Not only is he with me when I will make that final journey, when I'm on my deathbed, but he is with me throughout all my life here on earth. And this latter is really on the foreground here. The point is, all through our life, we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Let us remember that all Scripture teaches that we lie in the midst of death, that we die every day, that we carry about with us the body of this death. David is not merely referring to our physical death, but to all the dark and bitter experiences of our lives. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Our text does not say that we stop there, that that's the end, that we die there, but rather, I walk through, and our walk is our life, our whole pilgrim's journey in the midst of this world. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. The prophet Jeremiah used that language in his prophecy in chapter 2, verse 6. We read there, "Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and," notice, "of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt." The psalmist also in Psalm 44, verse 19, we read, "Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. And so the sense of this expression is plainly a blend of imminent danger and possible death. Now, there are those who have made light of these dark experiences. After all, our text speaks only of the shadow of death. And it's been said that only fools and children are afraid of shadows. After all, the shadow of a sword can't cut. The shadow of a dog won't bite. But remember, one who has actually walked through the valleys would not utter such foolishness. For where there is a shadow, there is the corresponding reality. If I should see a shadow of a large dog with its bared teeth coming toward me, I would not remain still and at ease merely because I couldn't yet see the dog itself. Common sense would tell me that the shadow is being produced by something, and my suspicion would be that it was an actual dog about to attack. From this point of view, beloved, it's very dangerous to make light of the dangers and adversities that we encounter in life. That's true spiritually. Satan, that roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he might devour, is a deadly enemy. The whole world of sin and unbelief sets itself against us as the sheep of God's pasture on every side. And we have daily to strive against our own sinful natures. That flesh which would carry us as close to the danger as possible. Spiritually, the dangers are very real. And we all know that the adversities of our lives are very real. The afflictions and sufferings, the sorrows, the hardships, the trials, the tribulations, death itself. Why? Why do we have to walk this path through the valley, this frightening way through the valley of the shadow of death? Be not deceived. Some would proclaim a supposed gospel of health, wealth, success. The Christian life is to be a bed of roses. If it's not for you, it's only because your faith is too weak. Be not deceived. Why? Why this journey through the valley? Why need we bear such burdens? Why do we have to endure such fears, cares, the affliction, the suffering, the sorrow, the infirmities of age, death itself? Of course, our earthly feeble minds cannot fully comprehend the reasons why. While we are yet on this side of the grave, but we are assured by the Holy Scriptures that it is for our good. We walk this way that we might be prepared for our place in glory, shaped and molded. It is to strengthen our faith in God, to draw us nearer and closer to our faithful shepherd. It is to make us realize our dependence upon Him. But in the end, it comes down to the fact that our all-wise, all-knowing God, Our shepherd knows that this is the best way. It's true with respect to sheep as well. The shepherd knows that the best route to the lush mountain grass is through the valleys. The valleys have the gentlest grades. The valleys are also where there will be springs and streams and pools of water to drink. And also the richest grass and the best forage are to be found along that way. Through the ravines, the canyons, the valleys, the shepherd slowly but surely takes his flock. Oh yes, he is aware that there are dangers there. Predators like coyotes and bears, wolves, cougars can take cover in the surrounding rocky cliffs. As we've noted, the valleys and canyons can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods. But in spite of such hazards, the shepherd also knows that this is still the best way to take his flock. In this connection, I would remind you of a characteristic of the sheep, a marvelous animal. Amazing how in the beginning God created the sheep to be a picture of us, His people. In addition to being a rather weak, rather helpless animal, often foolish. There's also the characteristic that sheep tend to give up rather easily. They have very little persistence. And when they experience hardship or affliction or danger, sometimes they simply give up and die even. Beloved, that's our nature too. How easily we can become upset, shaken up, frightened, even panicked by the adversities and dangers of life. When the dark shadows sweep over us and the path upon which we tread looks gloomy, we can be inclined to fall into a deep slump of despair. We can be overwhelmed by a spiritual pessimism. Sometimes we simply feel like giving up. You must understand, beloved, that David did not speak of the valley of the shadow of death to strike fear into our hearts or to discourage us. Rather, to remind us that our safety and our security are found in our shepherd. God never promises immunity from affliction and adversity and sorrow, but He does assure us as His children of His grace. His grace to endure, to overcome. Think of the Apostle Paul. His testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 regarding that thorn in the flesh. Whatever it may have been. How he prayed repeatedly that the Lord would remove it. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And then we read the answer to his plea in verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And the apostle's response, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We travel through the valley of the shadow of death. The Good Shepherd himself assures us that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so the basic question is not whether at this particular time or in the days ahead the valley is dark or merely dim with the shadow of death. The question is, how do we go through it? How do we cope with the hardships, even the calamities that come our way along our pilgrim journey? And the grand testimony of David in the light of all the potential danger was, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Notice carefully, he does not say, I will encounter no evil. Such a statement would have been contrary to his own experience as well as to the teaching of God's word. David did not derive comfort from the weakness of the enemy. He did not derive comfort from his own inherent strength. I can cope. I can take care of myself. I can handle anything that comes my way. Oh no. But he was comforted by the fact that the Lord was with him. The Good Shepherd has told us, yea, lo, I am with you always. And when we fully understand the importance of the doctrines of God's omnipresence, that He is everywhere present, His omnipotence, that He is the Almighty God, and His faithfulness, there is always a sense of comfort, confidence. These lofty truths are not included in the Psalms to merely round out theological viewpoints. They are there and throughout the Scriptures to strengthen our faith as God's people, to bring comfort. Think for a moment what it means to say with respect to our Shepherd, for Thou art with me. One commentator gives a good illustration of the significance of this. He had been excavating ancient tombs at biblical Heshbon and had opportunity to observe a rather large, dark cave at the bottom of a ravine. And he had entered the cave with a light and a large stick, had probed its corners for snakes or scorpions or any possible dangers, and he determined that the cave was perfectly safe. When a young boy from a nearby village came to watch his work, the man invited him to enter the cave. But the young lad refused to go in, noting the darkness and uncertainty before him. The man encouraged him, reminded the boy that he had already been inside the cave, that there was no danger present, but nothing would change his mind. But soon the boy's father came by, and looking at the cave, he said to his son, "Let's go inside and examine the work." And to the man's amazement, the boy took his father's hand and walked into the cave without blinking an eye. Later, he asked the boy why he had changed his mind, and he simply said, "My father's here. I'm not afraid to enter the cave." And that, beloved, is precisely the sentiment of our text. We need not fear because our Father's here, our faithful shepherd, Jehovah God. The presence of the Lord has provided encouragement for the saints throughout the ages. When Jacob was at Bethel, fleeing from the wrath of his brother Esau, the Lord promised, "I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Think of Joshua standing upon the east bank of the Jordan River, ready to lead the throng of the Israelites into the promised land of Canaan, a land filled with mighty enemies. The Lord strengthened him with these words, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." We read in Joshua 1, verse 5. When Jesus commissioned his disciples, he encouraged them with the words, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And that, beloved, makes all the difference. Even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. The presence of our shepherd is a source of strength and courage. Look back upon your own life and see how the shepherd's hand has upheld you, sustained you, even in the darkest hours. Reflect on Father's faithfulness in every crisis, in every frightening circumstance of life. Has not His grace always been sufficient? Oh no, it's not easy. It's often a very difficult lesson to learn. Christ's disciples had to learn that lesson too. Think of their great fear when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee in the midst of that terrible storm with Jesus sleeping calmly in the bottom of the boat. Jesus presently calmed the storm with a word and rebuked his disciples. "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" The disciples too had to learn that with Jesus with them, they had no reason to fear any of the storms of life that they would encounter. We must learn that too. And so with us as sheep who may be attacked by predators, threatened by storms, frightened by the circumstances of life, by the darkness of the valley, we need not fear. Our shepherd is with us. And so the writer to the Hebrews exhorts us in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And as further explanation, and to further bolster our confidence, David adds the statement, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What's the idea here? What were the rod and the staff to which the psalmist referred? From the use of these words and our knowledge of Oriental shepherding, we can conclude that these refer to two distinct implements or tools. These are the common universal equipment of the ancient shepherd. A shepherd boy, from the time he first starts tending his father's flock, takes special pride in the selection of a rod and a staff exactly suited to his own size and strength. The rod, in this context, was a rather short stick or club, which was the main weapon of defense for the shepherd and his sheep. A shepherd who had become skilled in the use of the rod could swing it or even throw it with great accuracy. Nowadays, of course, the modern sheepman has more modern weaponry, a rifle, perhaps to protect his flock from predators. I can recall my own father sometimes going out in the middle of the night, usually with his shotgun, to check the flock, see whether there may be stray dogs or coyotes endangering the sheep. The point is that the shepherd has a means of protection. With his rod, he keeps his flock safe. In addition, the rod was used in the shepherd's hand to examine and count the sheep. The Old Testament refers to this in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 37, as passing under the rod. And that meant not only coming under the shepherd's control and authority, but to be subject to his most careful and intimate and first-hand examination. On the other hand, the staff, more than any other item of his personal equipment, identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. And no one in any other profession, any other area of agriculture, animal husbandry, carries a shepherd's staff. It's uniquely an instrument used for the care and management of sheep, and only sheep. It will not do for working with cattle or horses or hogs. It's designed, shaped, adapted especially to the needs of sheep. The staff is essentially a symbol of the concern, the compassion that a shepherd has for his sheep. Whereas the rod conveys the concept of authority and of power, of discipline, of defense against danger, the staff speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind. Normally, as you may know, the shepherd's staff is a rather long, slender stick with a hook or crook on one end. It's selected with care by its owner, shaped and smoothed and cut to best suit his own personal use. In addition to leaning upon his staff for support and strength, the shepherd used his staff in the care of his flock. Skilled shepherds of old could use their staff to gently lift a newborn lamb that had become separated from its mother. He could lift it with his staff and set it next to the mother. He would use his staff to do this because a lamb with the odor of human hands upon it would sometimes be rejected by its mother. In the same way, a shepherd could use the staff to reach out and catch an individual sheep, young or old, and draw it close to examine it. The staff could also be used in guiding the sheep. With his staff, the shepherd could gently prod the sheep into a new path or through some gate or along a difficult way. With his staff, the shepherd could sometimes reach a sheep that had fallen into a hole or off the edge of a small cliff. And so we see that the rod and the staff are the symbols of a well-prepared shepherd. They provide him with clear identity. In the light of Jehovah's sovereign power, the mere presence of the rod and staff was enough to bring comfort to David. They symbolized the greatness of his shepherd. They confirmed his identity. They represented to him the protection and the security that he so desperately needed, even as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He had comfort, comfort of belonging to his faithful shepherd. Beloved, do you know that comfort? Jehovah God sent his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to lay down his life for the sheep. That's our good shepherd. That wonderful assurance that your shepherd is with you. The calm, quiet confidence in the knowledge that he is there, always there, moment by moment, day by day, in all our pilgrim way, there to protect us, to sustain us, to preserve us, even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's comfort. The comfort that is ours with Jehovah as our shepherd. And then our way in the midst of this world is not so bad. Even looking ahead, and perhaps it appears to us that the future is like a dark, potentially dangerous cave. As we live in the days in which iniquity abounds and persecution increases. Be assured, our great God will shepherd us even through the valley, even unto death. That means simply that from the moment of birth to the moment of our death, our God will be with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, not for a split second. He cares for us always. And because this is true, no one and nothing can be against us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All things are for us. Even death is for us. Oh, indeed, death is horrible from every human point of view. Often preceded by great suffering. And we know in the light of Scripture that death is the expression of the wrath of God against sin. Death is part of the curse. No wonder the apostle refers to death as the last enemy in 1 Corinthians 15. But we know too, do we not, that all that has been changed for his sheep. Death has been swallowed up in victory, in the victory of the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer is death the end. Death is the beginning of perfect joy, fellowship forever with our shepherd. God is our help. He will be our guide even through the valley of the shadow of death, and through death, he brings us into the glory of his presence. Then we see that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, What the psalmist says is true. As we sing it from Psalm 77, Thy way was in the sea, O God, through mighty waters, deep and broad, none understood but God alone. To man, Thy footsteps were unknown. But safe, Thy people Thou didst keep, Almighty Shepherd of Thy sheep. Amen. Almighty Shepherd of Thy sheep, we thank Thee for Thy Word of comfort and encouragement in all our pilgrim way. Apply Thy Word by Thy Spirit unto our hearts and lives as we continue our walk in the week which lies before us and in all our earthly days through the valley of the shadow of death. May we know and live in the consciousness that Thou art with us. We ask this all with the remission of our many sins, confessing even the oft weakness of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.